You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit hellmanns.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the NFL Player Second Acts podcast. I'm Peanut Tillman, Gandalf the Grey. What's up, baby? This is my guy Roman Harper right
here. What's up, man? This is the name of the week, I guess, and I appreciate it. So let's just get right into this thing. First and foremost, let's thank all of our listeners and all of our viewers out there, wherever you pick us up on your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app. Make sure you always give us a review. 5 stars, thank you. Review, comment, also hit that follow button. Leave a couple likes in there too, man. Appreciate it, man. And Peanut, man, I'm really excited about this one. I think it's all DBs, but clearly it's only one DB on the show today, and then we got 2 corners. So we're going to separate this thing, and we're going to get down to it, and let's tell you exactly why. Because I didn't know up until this point that corners are born, and DBs, I guess we just are made in later on in life. So here we go. He was once known as, and probably still is, as the ageless wonder. He's one of the greatest cornerbacks to ever play the game. He played 20 years in the NFL, all with the team that is currently known as the Washington Commanders. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2008. He's the Associate Athletic Director at George Mason University, and he has impacted thousands upon thousands of youth and young people through his Daryl Green Youth Life Foundation. Everybody, let's give a warm welcome to Mr. Daryl Green.
That's why I wanted him to do the intro, because I wouldn't have did it no justice.
What?
He did
it.
You did that. That was
appreciate
so good.
It, dog.
Yeah. That was so good. That's what DBs do. That's what DBs do.
That's what DBs do.
They compliment corners very well.
We compliment corners.
Yeah.
I didn't know what DBs do, but now I know.
See, there it is. I'm glad I was able to get you guys to understand.
Thank you. I appreciate
what we do. I would like to know this before we go to the real questions. All right, Daryl, you got to explain to me. All right, so how are corners born and DBs are not? Because I like this. I like this conversation.
There's certain things that just are uniquely God-given in their expression. And you can't just go and make that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just can't go, let me make one. No, the real cornerbacks with the footwork and the different, actually, I'll give you one that people could probably identify with. You're in New York, Oakland, the old Oakland, Philadelphia. They are not the city of brotherly love in that stadium.
No, they're not.
They are the city of, you better put your hat on as you go to this locker room. You better stay away from these people. Okay, so when you're dealing with that, and the guy caught the touchdown in the end zone, spent the ball, everybody's screaming, they saying stuff to you, not nice stuff, and you walking out of that, and you have to come back out on that field. And then guess what? They might do it again. You have to be born. There's something on the inside of you that just only lasts till I got to the sideline.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I can't train you for that.
It's true.
I can't train you for that. There's something about they're gonna kick your behind.
Yeah.
And you come back and you kick theirs 9 more times. But so, and then the footwork and the mentality, the real cornerbacks, in my humble opinion. I'm 5'8 and 3/4, thank you very much. And I do want my 3/4. And I was drafted first round, 28 pick. It was 28 teams back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably wouldn't pick me today. You know, oh, you're too little. You can't play. I don't know what they would say, but they said a lot of that before when I was a kid. But at the end of the day, when I came out there and played, I didn't play according to their thinking.
Hmm.
I didn't play according to what the coach had in mind. I played what you call result-nique because I couldn't play the technique. What's the technique, coach? Ah, man, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's go with what's the end result. The Bible says run the race to win, run it according to the rules. I'm not going to hold his jersey, not going to pull his face mask, but I probably won't be doing it in the technique that you say, but I'll do it in the result-nique that you want.
Wow.
And so that's why I think that, for me, I knew that I wasn't made by somebody. I wasn't a prototypical size or whatever. And so I think I was born in a way that even if you do get me, I'm still good. I'll see you the next play.
Yeah.
I feel like I can get it done. I'll get it done. If you beat me 1,000 times, I'm still going to come back. And I'm not embarrassed and I'm not scared. So that's a little bit of, and I think that's for some other people and places and different skills. But that's how I've always kind of
played. I think that's like the David and Goliath mentality, though. And what I mean by that is if David fought Goliath, like, straight on, head up, David probably would have lost. It's fair to say, right? But what David did, he did something completely outside the box. He was thinking outside the box. He's like, I got this little sling thing. I'm going to sling this thing really, really hard. In today's world, that's like he shot him and he brought a knife to a gunfight and he won because he had this gun, right? So kind of like what do you call it?
Result-nique.
That's kind of, in my opinion, the 5/8, 3/4, like that's how you think. Like, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it within the scheme. I'm going to do it my way, and we're going to get some results. I like that
and
attitude.
And it's not in a negative connotation. I'm not going to do it your way. It's just, this is how I do it.
Yeah.
This is how we do it.
Nah. Shout out to Montel. Love that guy. I want to know about this, though, because I don't want you to stay humble, Daryl, okay?
Mm-mm. This ain't the time to be humble.
I don't want you to be humble, okay?
Corners ain't humble.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Hold on. Let's go.
Is it really true you ran a 4.43 at 50? Because you
100%. And it's true that when I was in my 18th season at 40, I ran 4.42. I ran 4.24.
Yeah, at 18th season.
Yeah, I did all that at my 18th of 20. But you got to keep in mind, I had to show up with something. Yeah. I couldn't show up at 4.5, 5.8, 3/4, 173.
He was like Willie Mays Hayes from Major League. He just woke up and he woke up outside. They was finna cut him and his bed was on the line. And then he woke up and he saw people running. That's who you remind me of, Willie Mays Hayes, just running all the time, just straight speed.
Well, that's also, I think, one of the more interesting facts, and I don't know if you would know this because it's not going to show up on Google or anything, but this is what you knew if you knew Daryl Green's career, was that you always played kickoff because you were the real safety. You were like the first real safety on the kickoff team, and you were out there just because you were as fast as you were.
That's all I was out there for, yeah.
So if anybody breaks, Daryl, go get him.
You know what? Then I have to credit Richie Pettibone, my defense coordinator, and Joe Gibbs, of course, our head coach. They had the mindset like me. I don't know if I've helped them with it, but they had the mindset like me. We would go and create stuff, in the dirt. Like, I'll let you play what you can play, and we can build that defense around that. So, in other words, if I can actually truthfully shut this receiver down, who caught 8 last week for 212. And 2 touchdowns or 3 touchdowns. If I can actually hold him to 3 for 70, no touchdowns, and I do it the way I want to do it, yet in the context of our scheme, we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
They wasn't stupid. We're going to win this game. And so, let him do. Oh, that's not how. left foot up, right foot up, coach, oh, whatever foot up, you know. You know, and then when I bumped and run, I wasn't trying to grab nobody.
Yeah.
I was trying to move. And so I worked my feet.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing too, going back to your speed thing, I don't hate this, but it took me many years to overcome my own appreciation for being fast, because my first game, I chased down my good friend today, Tony Dorsett, and it made me famous. I was riding on Tony Dorsett's fame that I chased him down.
Yeah, he went 99, first one.
And he and I are great friends, and we travel, speak to youth all over the country, and we talk about that, how y'all saying you're trying to belittle him. Well, I'm riding on his shoulders.
Right.
If I caught you, it wouldn't mean nothing. So we're good friends, but for me, being recognized as this fast guy, I despised it in the early years.
Really?
I was like, man, I'm shutting receivers down. Y'all talk about how fast I am.
Yeah.
My speed is a part of it, and I'm grateful for that. But, dude, I'm moving my feet. I'm playing the ball. The guys are not catching balls on me. I'm not just a fast dude.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Pro Bowl to run the 100 meters. I'm going to Pro Bowl to go and cover these wide receivers. But it took me a long time to mature and realize, man, I thank God for that. I mean, I'm grateful for my speed. But in reality, my speed and my technique and my mind and all the scheme, everything was a part of my success. Yes.
How long do you think it took for the league or for everyone else or fans to realize that, like, damn,
he can
shut this guy down?
They still haven't.
Yeah.
I don't think they really get it.
Mm-hmm. I agree
because
with you.
Because being fat, I mean, dude, I chased down some guys. I won the fastest man. I probably have most of the majority of the iconic rundowns.
Yeah.
In the NFL's fastest man, the old NFL's fastest man in Palm Springs, California, where it was eight guys and they broke off two, then now it's four, now it's two. I'm undefeated. And three Olympians was in that. And some legitimate guys that were in those races, and I never lost. And these are one-on-one. These are mono. Yeah. These are backyard.
Yeah.
You and up, y'all up. You know, this one, no, eight guys. This is me and you. Then I beat you. Then I race Johnny. Then Johnny beat, you know. So
it's old school.
I'm undefeated.
Yeah.
Do y'all know that? I'm undefeated.
And what was the distance?
60
yards.
60 yards.
I like that. That means you open 60 up.
60 yards.
Oh, yeah.
Then you got to hold it.
It was good distance.
Yeah, you got
to
hold it.
But you had to... You know, sometime I got out late.
Yeah.
60 yards, you got to do something.
Yeah, I saw the one you on Herschel.
And that's also the 40, sometimes guys get a not as good of a start. The 40, you don't get out.
Trust
but me. 60, you got to hold it through the 40.
Yeah, correct.
All the way through. So I love that part.
I'm the reigning undefeated and the real NFL's fastest man. I won them all. Yeah. Everyone that I went to, I won, and I chased down the iconic, incredible athletes that I have great respect for, the guys. Eric Dixon, who's a great friend of mine. I don't belittle him that I caught him. He enhances me because he was great.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I ran down a lot of guys and played a long time, ran 4.2 at 18, at my 18th season, 40 years old, and ran 4.3 at 50. That's a big deal.
That's something to be proud of.
And a lot of work.
What you
and
think?
A lot of work.
We went outside right now. What you running? Me and you was racing. What you think you do?
In Detroit?
If we was a race, yeah. What
in
you think
this
you
weather?
Do? Yeah.
Cold as it is.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm probably like 4.6, 4.8. Because I refuse to go to 4.7. Refuse. Refuse. I'll never run a 4.7.
Never. All right.
Well, I even
with
help
a suit
you.
On.
I even lift you up more and say I'd help. Y'all have to catch me in July.
That's it. There we go.
So you win today. Yeah. I'll see you in July.
I'm with you. I want to know this though, Daryl, and this is because I truly don't know, but I watched you a lot of times in your career, and that is because all I remember them always talking about was how fast you were.
Yeah.
But what do you say technique-wise is what made you better? Was it more of a press-to-man guy? I know you love shadowing guys because you whoop them with your feet, catch them with your hands. That's what I was taught, especially press-man-to-man coverage. If I whoop you with your feet and I'm standing in front, dude, I can catch them with the hands. That's easy. Yeah. Where a lot of people trying to be so quick, handsy.
Yeah.
No, it's feet work first, early.
Or footwork.
Footwork early. You know, I got 2 feet, though. Or were you more of an off man guy, off coverage? Which one would you like?
The key would be, for me,
because you weren't the biggest either.
Yeah, I pride myself in being great in both.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a disadvantage if I'm playing off on the left side, on the right side, off yeah. on the right side. I want to play out you because I cover the man.
Yeah.
So he can line up in the slot left, slot right, outside left, outside right. It doesn't matter. I got you all day.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the route, wherever you line up, so I'm prepared for that from a footwork standpoint, from a mental standpoint, speed, quickness, mental toughness, and conditioning. Speed, quickness, mental toughness, and conditioning is a very important thing that I worked on. But my footwork, I work my feet every day. I had a concept about my arm. My arms, you say, well, what about your arm? My arms had three jobs. Help me run. If he get really up on me too close, hey, push him off me. Help me, help me get away from him because I don't want that much space. And then go back and start running. And then when the ball comes, try to play the ball. So if my arms grabbed you or did something, I'm like, excuse me? I don't think I asked you to do that.
Yeah.
You don't grab him. You don't push him. You don't just put yourself, like this young kid put his hands on the guy's shoulders. For what? Why are you putting your hands? You should be helping me run and move my feet. Because really, at the end of the day, you have to be where you are in position to play the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not just trying to, you're out here just running and jacking around.
Yeah.
For example, if you line up in the press and they throw the ball, you should make the play.
Right.
I mean, if you're right there with, so I want to really be right there 30 yards down the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I may get, I'm start off in position, I might get out. How do I get back? My feet get me back.
Yeah.
I might get out again. My feet get me back. And then when the ball shows up, I'm back where I wanted to be. But that was a lot of work, a lot of technique, a lot of focus, a lot of understanding, a lot of understanding. And I will say this. I watched a lot of film, but I watched 75-25, 25 him, 75 me.
Mm.
Because I got something that I'm planning to do that I've been working on that is important to me that I think will help me beat you. And I'm going to focus on that a lot. I'll get you. Okay, his routes, his speed, his quarterback. You know, I got that.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Da, da, da. Now, let's focus on what I do.
Yeah.
All right, dude, you're faster, you're quicker. You're mentally tougher. Arms, y'all know what y'all got to do. Now, don't do that. Now, if he, hey, get him off me. Okay, good, gotcha. Come on, let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is a real technical. I never really talked about that, but I wasn't just some goofy, fast guy running out there. You can't do that, play 20 years against these big old guys.
No.
Quarterbacks throwing BBs. So no, people don't realize what it really was.
Yeah, I wanted to know that.
Yeah, it was definitely, for me, I'm not speaking for anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wasn't a cover two corner.
Yeah.
You know, I could play cover three, I could play cover four, I could play cover one, cover zero. I like zero and one, you know, and that's kind of what I did. And I played some guys, and I did this jokingly at the Hall of Fame last year, like to some of the wide receivers. I said, y'all know why I'm here? Because I covered all of y'all.
I like that.
They can cover the second and third, get covered by the second, third, and first, second, and third guy. I was only dealing with the one guy.
Yeah.
So, and I wasn't making a joke, but it was kind of true. Like,
touché.
I'm actually in the Hall of Fame because I played
covered against all y'all.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Yeah.
So 2012, my number got retired when I went to Louisiana Lafayette. They retired my number. And I remember my family being there, and it was this great, great ceremony. Awesome, awesome deal. The Washington Commanders announced that they're going to retire your jersey. So first off, congratulations,
No doubt.
That's a huge honor.
Good job, crowd in the background. Good job, Romy Rome. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about,
because I feel like they don't do that a lot, you know, and that's rare. How are you feeling that they're retiring your number? How's that make you feel?
Oh, man, I've cried a lot. A thousand people that have texted me have cried. It's a real honor, and I think that people appreciate. You know, I was in one team for 20 seasons.
Yeah.
And I was on the strike. And now God told me not to go to another team. I don't know if a lot of people even know that. But if you think about it.
I didn't know.
I mean, people say, well, man, why didn't you go? Reggie White, the guys who were free agents.
Yeah.
Free agency.
They started
Plan B. You're like, why didn't Daryl Green ever go? Well, I didn't go and tell the world. God told me not to go, you know. Like, yeah, right. Yeah, but he did. And so he protected me. I didn't get hurt. I didn't break my neck. And the people didn't get rid of me. But I was really impacting that city, trying to impact the city, part of my church, part of my learning centers, faithful marriage, 39 years. My kids raised up there. All my kids Congrats. Are married now. I used to have my grandkids and stuff. So I tried to live a right. I tried to live a right life. You know, the way I position myself is, oh, and by the way, I play football. The primary is, man, I'm a great dad, a great husband, a great man, you know, brother, friend, love God. And by the way, I'm an NFL player.
Yeah.
So I think the people that know me, the reason why we cry, because we appreciate that the people appreciated it. And I think it's more than football, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm humbled by that. I came there and gave my whole life there. Met my wife there my rookie year and been faithfully married all those years and didn't chase the women, didn't chase the money, wasn't out there whoring around and crap. I went to work, brought my butt home, cut the yard, ride the bikes, and served and did what I was supposed to do. And to come back and they say, man, you're one of the greatest players and community guys. Dude, I mean, it's not just that I play corner.
Yeah.
I don't see this as that. I think it's more. And I believe it's more. And I'm humbled by that. This team was the last team to get an African-American player, Bobby Mitchell. I met him. Mm-hmm. He's the Jackie Robinson. When I came there and sat down with him, it was a real honor to come to Washington, D.C. and play in the shadow of his beginning, the storied team. And then as we went on, we had Doug Williams win the Super Bowl, Theismann. You know, we went to Super Bowls. Joe Gibbs was a great man, great community. We had something very special. So I'm humbled by this new ownership.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Harris and Mitch Rales, the guy we right in his backyard, Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, and people don't know, I've had nothing to do with the Commanders, Redskin Commanders, since I retired. So these new guys come in and said, hey, wait a minute, Daryl Green. And fortunately, really? they were from that area. Josh moved to Philadelphia in that area, but the other guys are local. I know all the guys. I've been knowing Magic 35 years. So these guys appreciated Daryl Green.
Yeah.
And here I am. I'm disconnected from the team. And not in a bad way. I mean, I work with youth, so I'm all over the country.
Yeah.
I'm everywhere. So, I mean, I got a life. They have a life. But to bring me back and acknowledge that, man, I'm...
But you're one of the core faces of the franchise, though. Like, that's gotta mean something. I know you might not...
No, and I do appreciate that.
You haven't been affiliated with them probably since retirement. But you're Hall of Famer. You know, like, you're a pillar in the community. Like, you represent them well. Yeah. So I think that speaks for itself. Like, you are him.
The only difference is, only thing, and you're 100% right, I'm not going to go and tell you, hey, I'm Daryl Green.
Right.
If you don't acknowledge it, I keep rolling.
I keep rolling.
But I'm humbled and I am grateful that they do. They just got here and they say, man, look, one of our first things we're going to do, we're going to acknowledge you. I mean, so I'm very grateful for
Where
that.
Where were you at when you heard the news?
So y'all don't know the whole story. So my wife and my son was interacting with them for the last few months.
Oh, so they were in on it.
It was a surprise. Yeah, and... And we almost got divorced over it.
Hold on,
who are you in there talking on the phone?
After 39 years, oh, you sneaking around?
They're going to kill you after 39 years, you know? So, and then the day I was supposed to go over to the facility, I'm like, hey, I got something I'm going on. She said, no, you got to go over here. Like, I ain't going nowhere. I got to go. I got a meeting to go to. So thank God that she didn't let me break her. And say, man, forget this. We're trying to surprise you. You know, like you said, Dad, forget it, Dad. Yeah. We were trying to surprise you anyway.
Yeah. Like you mess it all up.
Oh, my gosh, man. I was so glad. I say, honey, I love you to death. You're the best. It was the greatest moment. All my kids were there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so they came, and the grandkids were there. And it was special.
That's
it was
cool. Special.
And I say all my kids, just in case my daughter in Houston is listening to this, it wasn't all my kids. Her and her husband and their kids wasn't there. And so, but anyway, yeah, it was, that's how they told me.
Yeah.
But they had worked for months working on this, and then it was just, yeah, I was totally humbled.
So they tell you at the stadium, or was it
We were at the facility.
At the facility, okay.
So I'll tell you how they did it, and you can find it because it's probably out there.
Yeah.
I went, and they were telling me to present, to do a video for these draftees.
Gotcha.
The draft picks. Yeah. And so I'm going to say to them, you know, the importance, good luck, the Redskins, the Commanders, Washington, D.C., you know, just, hey, this is a big deal, da, da, da. You worked all your life for this. And so I'm reading through it. How is that? You know, you're reading the teleprompter.
Oh, they had your own teleprompter, and then they put it in there?
At the end, they said, okay, well, that's good. Hey, they've just got one last one. Hit this next one, and we should be good. And I read that I'm going to be... And I
did you dropped. Finish reading it, or did
no,
you just kind of stop?
I did not stop. I'm like, what? Yeah, it was really, I have to give them credit. It was, and again, dude, they put a lot of thought and energy in a lot of people. So I was humble. I was,
that's,
it brings me to tears in a lot of people as well. And I appreciate that because people know who I am. Mm-hmm. They know what I'm about. I'm not that dude, you know, I'm just a guy down the street, just grateful to be alive, have a family, and, you know, just to digress, football, I started football in 11th grade on JV. I made the varsity. I walked on at Texas A&I, NAIA. I left after one semester. After I started the last game, my buddy got killed in a car wreck. I was supposed to be in that car. I left, went home, no grades, zero grades. A year and a half later, I came back, but I'd got 12 hours in community college. New coach let me walk on again. 3 years later, I was a first-round draft pick. That weekend I got drafted. The next weekend, my best friend Clem Greenwood hung himself. Mm. The guy that got in the car, that was my second best friend. His name was Cornell Green. Clem Greenwood was my second best friend. My parents got divorced in sixth grade. I met them at the new school and knew them all my life. One gets killed. I was supposed to be in the car. One dies and hung himself when I got drafted. So my life wasn't all just peachy cream. Mm-hmm. And we grew up in the projects, food stamps, all that stuff. And so I came from that broken home, all that stuff. And so next thing I know, I'm in Washington. Like, you think you surprised? I'm surprised. How in the world I get to be in the NFL draft?
Yeah.
I wasn't all that, you know. Now, we won the state in the mile relay my senior year. I ran track in the 11th, mm-hmm. 12th grade, and I ran track in the 10th grade. I played football in 11th grade, JV, and I played football my senior year. So we won the state, so I had some success in that. I think I made all district at corner, even as a one-year player. But I wasn't somebody's, you know, hot item. So, but I walked on and had fun.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. that tragic happened, and I just went back. I had no clue I was gonna be in the NFL. I didn't even dream about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't dream about it. Think about it. It's not even real. I never even thought about it. Was it real or not?
Yeah.
It wasn't real. I didn't but thought about it. So next thing you know, I was in the NFL, and then as a Christian, I could hear God speak. And then when he told me not to go to another team, fine, I'm going to stay here. Next thing I know, it's 20 years. But it's pretty crazy, man. And then, but I got a great family, great marriage, great wife. So I'm humbled by that.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate, Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellmann's and boom, next level burgers, it's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for, potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it, Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad, deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellmann's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
About those 20 years, I want to know if you're aware that, which I think you may be, that you're on hold the record for the most seasons with an interception at 19.
Yeah.
And the only one you didn't get was your very last one. How close were you to getting one?
Or your last year?
Like, and how much do you still hold on to this?
Oh, no, I don't hold on to it. Okay. And what's funny about it is a guy named Mitchell, he was a linebacker. And my last game, I wasn't starting, but I was playing nickel. Right. I was in there.
I remember that.
And I got an interception. And here it come. Bow!
He
that
hit
linebacker
you.
Knocked the crap out of me, and he caught it. Here's the bad part about it. He died a little bit after that. Oh. I was at his house with his family. That painted ball was on the thing.
Mm.
And I looked. Oh, my God. That's my ball. Yeah.
That's a crazy story, man.
That's a crazy story. But, yeah, I would have got it. I would have had 20 interceptions. One interception for 20 years. But even 19 is still.
It's still a great record.
Is that a record?
Yes, it
oh,
is.
Oh, God, that's a record. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no okay, one, so that's a record.
Corners ain't playing 20 years.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool, man. Pretty.
You played 20 years when the NFL was real.
Yeah.
You probably would have played you'd have played longer. How long did Tom Brady play?
Oh, Tom, 20-something. But that's totally different.
I think probably just the way they don't practice and don't hit and stuff.
Man, you could have knocked out 25
easy.
I think you could have knocked out 25
because I quit.
Easy.
I didn't get cut.
Yeah.
I didn't, I was still playing.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I want to know. The very first game I ever started, it was my fourth game of the season. We play Oakland. My coach comes over to me and was like, Peanut. That was my rookie year. He goes, mm-hmm. Peanut, you starting this week. You going against two future Hall of Famers. You going against Jerry Rice and Tim Brown. Now, don't be in there effing up. And he walked away. And I was like, all right. And then as soon as he walked away, I was like, and it was this great feeling for me, right? What I want to know, give us a story about some of the greatest battles you had with Jerry Rice and some of the, the Michael Irvins and some of these
all the big time receivers that I grew up watching.
Yeah.
The Andre Reed. The Philadelphia had two of the boys back in the day.
Mike Quick.
Yeah, Quick. Yeah.
Urban Fryer.
Number one overall
Harold Carmichael, 6'8", taller than me.
Yes.
I started off against him. It started off Monday night. I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
We playing the Dallas Cowboys. On Monday night, my Redskins at the time had just won the Super Bowl. They beat Dallas in the championship game just a few months before.
Yeah.
And we're going to kick off. I'm the new guy. I'm on the field. I'm thinking that week. Now, they told me on Monday that I would start. We had a training camp. Hey, we starting on Monday night. You starting. So the previous Monday, they telling me, oh, my gosh, I'm starting. Cowboys, I want to get Drew Pearson's autograph. The receiver that I'm, I'm matching up with him. Tony Hill is on the other side, Drew Pearson. Tony Hill was the number one.
That's so funny how we all grew up having these heroes and all of a sudden we play them.
Dude, it's crazy. So I'm thinking Monday, I want to get his autograph. Tuesday, I want to get his autograph. Wednesday, I hate him. See, this is back. And this is what we're going to get back to. Commanders, we're going to get back to that, where the Cowboys, beating the Cowboys means something, where half the fans are not Cowboy fans in our stadium. The players are not from Philadelphia in the stands. It's going to be us in our own stands. I'm telling my people that. I hope they listen to y'all's show.
Y'all better be listening.
Y'all better be.
You can look right there.
DMV, I hope you're with us.
Yeah.
We're going to take our place back. Anyway, the Cowboys. I didn't know. I knew nothing about a rivalry. I'm from Texas. I don't know anything. So they baptized me in this. I don't want to get nothing from this dude. Forget him. You know, he got in the Hall of Fame about 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I told him his story and got an autograph from him.
Oh, okay.
I had never talked to him.
That was going
to
be my next question. Because really? I know he's in the Hall of Fame now. So did you ever?
You
like
held
that.
This for 30 years?
I told him the whole story.
You held it for 30 years.
And what was his reaction?
Well, he told me that I busted lip, nose in the game. I don't remember that. And he also told me something. This is bad to say. I'm going to say it anyway. Because we all love, if you all, anybody have to do with the NFL, you love Tom Landry. But he said Tom Landry kind of blamed him for me chasing down Tony Dorsett. Which,
you didn't get the block.
Come on, man. You couldn't block me. I'm gone. I'm outrunning everybody on the field. So I don't know. He did tell me that. But that was a really unique thing. We went 14-2 that year, my rookie year, and we lost in the Super Bowl. Mm. But it was a fun year. But I got introduced to the Cowboys receivers. Philadelphia, as I said, Mike Quick, Roy Green at Arizona.
Oh yeah, that was
Arizona.
Yeah.
St. Louis.
Yeah,
St. Louis Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was in our league at that time. So I don't know if they drafted me for these guys, but I matched up on all these guys: Roy, Mike Quick, Tony. Well, I ultimately went to Tony here, but I was on Drew. The Giants didn't have anybody. They didn't have a premier receiver. But I started off pretty much early on matching up with people. Definitely the second year, matching up with the guys. And so, you know, it was a lot. To me, I had a lot of fun when I played. I was a fun guy. I wasn't cussing and screaming. And let me just tell you this, Jerry Rice. You mentioned Jerry Rice. The attributes of wide receiver: route running, hands, heart, speed. You know, those are the things that are important. And you start to say, well, who has the highest number, calculated number of, you know, he's a 10, he's a 7, he's a 6, he's a 4. And then, oh, well, he's a 7, a 9, a 9, and a 6. So the numbers add up. So Jerry Rice equaled out the highest numbers to me. Mm-hmm. He's a low speed, but route running, he's high. Hands, he's high. And heart, he's high. Mike Irvin's is hands, heart, way up here. Speed, he's low. And then you got to add the quarterbacks, too.
Yeah.
So that's how I looked at him, you know, and I say, so I would give him the nod for that. But just the privilege of being able to say that I played against these guys. And maybe, have you ever had Jerry Rice on the show?
No, we have not.
Okay, so I'm going to get him to come on the show to rebuttal this. So Jerry Rice.
I may freak out.
I'm just a dude. If I'm playing against you, hey, man, what's up? Well, how you doing, man? Your mom and them, everybody good? When we get in the game, trust me, we're going to be competing. We ain't competing right now. And I know how to go into competition and separate that from, hey, what's up, bro? I ain't mad at nobody.
Yeah.
I don't hate nobody. I ain't screaming at nobody. When we competing, it's competition and skill against skill. If you did a good, hey, dude, route, good route, man. Dude, that was a route. That's how I played the game. Like, you know, if you did it, you did it. If you did it and got me, you really did something. I ain't mad. I'm really like, man, dude, I got to give it to you. Jerry Rice wouldn't speak to me before the game. Wouldn't speak to me during the game. Wouldn't speak to me after the game. So one day, I did something that was out of my character. I said to the media, I said, you know what burns me up? I've been, you know, it's green on Rice, you know, all these years. Y'all won't shake my hand, say what's up, boom, boom, boom. So I said that to them. Jerry, I said that to them. And he remembered the story. So we get to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. I'm coming off, you name it, he coming off America. And, you know, we meet. Hey, Daryl. I knew what he was talking about. Yeah, man, what up, what up? Man, I said, man, huh? I act like I didn't know what he was talking about. And then I said, man, you know what? Yeah, you right. I said, man, but one day we're not going to be in the NFL. And you can't shake my hand. You don't say hi. You don't. Dude, we're going to compete either way. I'm going to compete hard against you, whether I like you or not like you. You say nice things. But we should be able to be, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? How your mama doing? Whatever. And he said he was superstitious and he gave some answers for it. Mm. And I never liked that. I want to be friends with Mike Quick when the game is over.
Right.
That ain't going to take nothing off. It ain't going to take nothing off of me. I'm going to hit you hard and try to, you know, Michael or whoever it is. That's just the way I am. I don't hate my team, my opponent. I don't, you know, I'm not going to try to kill. This is a skill. You got a quarterback throwing these balls. You running precise routes and I'm trying to stop you. That's a competition.
For sure.
That's not something for us to be mad and fighting about. It's like either you can or you can't. When you play me, you can either beat me or you can't.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because you probably played in the wrong era because nowadays everybody knows each other because of social media. Most of these players are friends with other.
And they're trying to get the jerseys.
And they're trying to get the jerseys and they're doing all this other thing.
Darren, what's up?
When you were playing, nobody talked to nobody. You didn't know nobody else on the other team. You usually hated that person.
I didn't. You're
different.
I probably had a couple more dollars in my pocket if I played in this era, huh?
You would.
Well, that's interesting you saying that truthfully, I don't know if I'm agree with you with everybody after the game with the jerseys on the ground.
Yeah, they do all that.
I saw that. I don't know if I go that far every week. I look up, we doing that.
Yeah.
But there's a level of casual respect.
Yes.
And, hey, what up, dude? How you doing, man? Good to see you, man. You know, dude, we've been around. We played 8 years together, 9 years. But you're in the NFC East. I'm playing you every year. You don't have to invite me to your house and be my best friend, but you got to be casual.
Yeah.
And I'm not cussing and fighting and stuff. Because at the end of the day, like I said, you awesome if you can beat me. Because I put in a lot of work, and I want to see my skills against your skills.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate, too, because I'm probably one of the only guys got to match up in an era, and the Deion came later.
Yep.
But a lot of the other greats, they didn't match up.
No.
I don't think Woodson matched up, and Aeneas may have matched up a little bit.
Aeneas also transitioned to the slot, too.
He went to safety as well.
Yeah.
Aeneas, you went to safety, Aeneas.
I never did.
One of my closest buddies.
I love Aeneas.
That's my guy.
Yes.
But it was a unique, it was kind of, you know, as I played, and I'm kind of a guy, I'm not really famous, and so I'm not out there, I'm not as popular as other people, but... you know, people don't really know and you guys are getting a little bit of it out of me, but yeah, the way I thought about the game, the way I approached it, what I thought about the players and the confidence that I had, you know, when I played Randy Moss, you know, I was scared of Randy Moss. You know, that's back when he's mossing people.
Played Moss too.
You know, Randy Moss is incredible, but I'm pretty good too.
You got to play the man. Yeah. You got to guard the man, not his reputation.
Exactly.
That was something Gil Bird.
Gil Bird, that's what my draft. That's my draft class.
Yeah, Gil coached me in Chicago, and that's one thing he used to always say. You gotta guard the man, not his reputation.
Dude,
don't be scared to play anybody.
Gil's, that's my guy.
Gil was a good player out there in San Diego too.
Yeah.
Gil used to drop those gems.
San Diego, speaking of the draft, San Diego had like 3 first round draft picks. Gary Anderson, I think his last name was Anderson, Billy Ray Smith, linebacker, and Gil in 1983 draft. And you can look that up. I think I'm right. 3 first round picks in the draft when I came out of. Mm. And Gil, I think Gil was one of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
That was, Gil was a good dude. I want to ask a question real quick, though. So I know you were at George Mason University, mm-hmm. Assistant Athletic Director.
Associate Athletic
Director. Associate Athletic Director. Excuse me. Apologize. What's been one of the most gratifying feelings you've had having that job, being around the youth and other young athletes?
That's really all I'm really interested in, you know, is young people. That's what I do every day of my life. But I'm more, you know, I'm everywhere from elementary school through college. But unfortunately, it's a lot of business trying to raise money and so forth. But I do get a chance to participate and interact with young people. That's my life. That's what I love, you know. And it's really tough because everybody wants you to be the next this and next that, and I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. And sometimes people forget about just really living.
Mm-hmm.
Just how do you live? What is it like to be a man? Just to be a friend, be a son, you know. And so I enjoy it from that vantage point. The other parts of it, you know, people like me, you can have, you know, but I do enjoy that. And you get with young people and you And they want to know,
yeah,
you know, how, hey man, how can you do it? What do I have to do? And then sometimes they don't want to know, you know, and it can create a lot of problems for people. And sometimes the problem, now my brother, you know, I had a brother who, I think he died of drug overdose. I'm not sure. But, you know, my father was an alcoholic and all that stuff. They got divorced. I lived in all that stuff. And so I'm really more passionate about young people, of all types of young people, having a chance to be successful. Give them a shot. Give them a chance.
Yeah.
Give them a chance to win. You know, and you know, don't lock him up. Don't kick him out.
Yeah.
You know, give him a shot. Let's talk to him. So I like to be the guy that they talk to.
Nice. Do you feel that your wisdom that you've had this, you've got life experience. Do you feel that the youth and what you give them, they're receptive to receiving?
Yeah, I think so. Now, what I do as a company I work with called Centene, C-E-N-T-E-N-E, they're a large managed care company in this country. And we partner with the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And so we're all over the United States every week, every month. You know, I just got back from Ohio with youth. And so I call my gold jacket a key. And what do you do with your key? You open your door.
Yeah.
And then as you walk into your house, what do? You throw your key. So I take my jacket off and throw it down. So I'm here. I'm here. I'm home. Mm-hmm. So when my key gets me in front of them, and what's unique about it, whether it's media or whether it's that gold jacket, I'm not sure, but it's not like I have a generation gap. I'm in. Once I get in, and then now when I start talking, my story, they find familiarity in it.
Yeah.
Because really, there's nothing new under the sun. Oh, I grew up over here. I grew up, oh man, we did too. You know, so come on, trust me. I don't care if you're rich or poor, black, yellow. Trust me, if you're breathing a human, you got the same experiences.
Yeah,
yeah.
We all got some. We all got some struggles in there somewhere.
You got struggles. I don't care how rich you were, how great you were, where you went to school. If you're alive, your headache is just like my headache.
Yeah.
You need an aspirin just like I do. You get to stomp your toe just like I can stomp mine. So that's the privilege that I get, is that I get to use that key, this childhood game that I played that gave me this level of recognition to access these young people and adults on many levels. And then from there, if you got something to say and some wisdom, then it works.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate: Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellman's and boom, next level burgers, it's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for: potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it: Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad: deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellman's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, tell me this key that you keep talking about. I think it's opened up and it's continued to pour into so many others, and that is through your Daryl Green Youth Life Foundation. How did you come up with it, first and foremost? And then, what was your initial goal or thoughts that you thought you'd do? And then tell me one thing that you're like, I know, but like, it's I'm cool. trying to build the whole cool. pressure. But it's like, I want to know how, you know, how it came about, what you initially wanted it to be, and then what it's turned into.
All right, so I got to Washington, D.C. I would drive over to D.C. We live in Virginia. I drive into D.C. Mm-hmm. What I learned through time and knowledge is that if you support and volunteer and help people as a child, you'll do it as an adult.
That's true.
So we did it. I did it because my mom would grab my ear. Take that food over there to these people. We were poor too. Like, take that over there. Like, you get over there. Yeah. But even if you're forced to do it, you'll do it as an adult.
Yeah.
It's in you. So in D.C., I'm trying to work with kids. I actually joined the recreation department. They didn't pay me. I'm on the team. We doing all this stuff, Christmas events, all these different things, and you getting to meet all these little kids. Man, he needs a diaper on. He needs a jacket. Man, that lady smell like she been drinking. You know, so I'm out there.
Yeah,
I'm out there. Even though I came from it, you don't see it when you're in it.
It's true.
But I'm out there like, wow, this is crazy. So one night I drove home a road called George Washington Parkway. I just started crying. It was Christmas time. That kid didn't have the right clothes on. He needed a diaper. You know, all these, you know, and we got little, hey, did you get a piece of cake? Did you get a little toy? And so God said to me, he said, Daryl, I mean, what are you doing? I'm going out here. I knew I wasn't doing nothing. I ain't doing nothing. Mm. Ain't no real impact. I'm going back to the suburbs. That kid ain't, he met Daryl Green. That has not changed his life, not one bit in reality. I called an attorney and said, man, I want to start a foundation. I can't spell foundation. I'm going to do something. Yeah. I don't know what. But I started a foundation and I started doing food, clothes, and paying light bills. I had an office and I had a little, the cassette tape, beep, Mr. Green, this Miss Johnson, and then I would try to fix it if I could. Can I pay her bill? Can I help her son get out of prison? Can I buy this food? And we just did that over and over. There, I bought a van. We deliver food.
Yep.
Eidenberg bread. I remember it now. We would get bread from them. And then ultimately, I had a teammate named Dexter Manley. Dexter was reported, and this is public, that he couldn't read. It's my teammate. Like, man. So I'm thinking, when I was in school, kid couldn't read. Go up to the blackboard. That day, the teacher's going to put us to the blackboard. That kid starts screaming and creating a problem, throwing spitballs, pull a girl's hair. Because if they say that you so silly, it's better than you so dumb.
Yeah.
Because when I go up there, see, Mike, man, you dumb. But you being some silly, that's cute.
Yeah.
So I start thinking about the academic side. Then I thought about the fact that we want food stamps, free lunch, free housing. So I'm thinking about academics, education. I'm thinking about provision. Now I'm thinking about morals. I'm Christian. I understand biblical processes and principles. So now I understand how to live. And so at the end of the day, you think about home, school, church, and government. The home really can do it all. You can teach your kids, don't even go to school. They can be homeschooled. They can provide for them. You can either, and then you can go to church or you can do church at home. And then, so when I looked at that, I saw the deficiencies in these children where the government is saying, I remember, I think it was George Bush, welfare to work, but I grew up where people lived in the projects for 3 generations.
Yeah, they did.
Poor generations. And so I was on food stamps. And my mom and them provided the love and nurture. So that's what it is. It's love and nurture. Provision, that's government. School, that's school. And then the church. That's really the four institutions that support pretty much human beings in American soil. And when there's a deficiency, then one take more than it can. The government take over more. Mm-hmm. The church might do more. Well, I am with the learning centers. Now I create these centers, say, I want to get the kids in here and I want to be able to manage that. So I'm going to marry mom and be the other provision that she give the love and nurture. We'll give the provision. We'll give the academics. We'll teach them biblical principles and we'll help raise this generation back up. So that's how I created the Youth Life Learning Centers. Presently, the learning centers are in Richmond, Virginia, not in the D.C. area, which I'm sad to say, and in some parts of North Carolina. Maybe one still left in Tennessee, used to be Florida. But the other bad part about it is it's very hard to raise resources for poor people because they're trying to say, what do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? Sometimes the sponsors won't help you. And they were very hard on me to say and scrutinize me about how I gave or if I spent too much money on them.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend the money on them.
All of it.
These people need this. They need that. And then, well, you went across the budget. So you're not going to give it to me? I'm not putting it in my pocket. I'm just trying to help these people. So I live with a lot of frustration, but I did that my whole adult life. So, yeah, you know, that I just took advantage of the revelation, a response to the revelation that I had going down GW Parkway. Didn't really know what I was doing. But then when I pull it all together with this concept, it's a human concept. Mom and dad for love and nurture, government for food and provision, roof over your head, church help you learn morals, and the school support you academically. That's like alphabets. That's ABC. That ain't no brain surgery stuff. That was a revelation that I had. That's how I created the learning centers.
Who would you say would be on your personal Mount Rushmore of success? So you've had this amazing life, marriage, kids, grandkids, amazing football career, Hall of Fame, seen some stuff, you know, I don't want to say a rough childhood, but you saw some things.
Yeah.
You know, you've had some friends, things like that. You've had a very blessed life.
Yeah.
Who would be the four people that would be on your personal Mount Rushmore of helping you become the person you are today?
And not saying, of course, obviously the Lord has done it all, God, but I'd say my dad. My dad didn't know his dad.
Mm-hmm.
he became an alcoholic through his childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Married my mama, had seven kids, and just, you know, in the era, born in 1933, in America and all the stuff he faced. So that was, but I always loved him and I always appreciated him. I've been pretty good at this my whole adult life. I can stand in your shoes. You know, you come in a restaurant and you want to get an autograph or whatever. I can stand in your shoes. I don't feel like it, but as a professional athlete, you should be able to be really good at standing in another person's shoes. Mm. Not because you always say from your vantage, man, I can't believe him. Well, why don't you stand in his shoes and see it from his vantage point?
Mm.
So I've been good at that. So my dad, I loved him. He was the best. Really sharp dude. Really highly intelligent. Highly intelligent. So he'd be first. And then any people who have really helped me for what we call in Christendom, discipled me, helped me become more like God. Helped me to learn to follow Jesus. You know, Colonel Melendez and his wife Jeannie invited me to their home in college. Doug Taft was the one that introduced me to them. I got to Washington, D.C. I met Brett Fuller, who's a pastor and a bishop in the Every Nation church world. And then even I go beyond that and say that my son and my wife and my girls have helped me really material, you know, really kind of realize my life, you know. In other words, I'm out here working and all that. I appreciate all the fans. Fans love me. I've been mm-hmm. respected and they have a role, but my thing with them is I'm more trying to serve them in terms of a model of goodness. And I didn't know, man, come on. You think I knew I was going to play 20 years?
Well, no, you didn't even know you were going to go in the NFL.
So I think that for me, I never really kind of weirded out on that. I just felt like, okay, man, this is a great opportunity. This is it's not only an opportunity, but it's a responsibility. So I've had a good sober mindset about stuff. But primarily my dad and the people who have helped me. Because at the end of the day, what has really made me great is God and the revelation of who he is.
Right.
I would never have been faithfully married. I mean, I'm not from that world.
Yeah.
You know, I had all of the 8 kids my dad had. We all had kids out of wedlock. We're from the projects. You know, we don't do good. That's not my history. And so I've been changed, not by football or money or people screaming my name. I've been changed by God.
Yep.
So I'm faithfully married to one woman 39 years. And that ain't my history. My dad don't even know his dad.
Yeah.
And they were divorced. So I'm more grateful for that. I'm more humbled by that. And that's what affected me. You know, that's what molded me, should I say, and molded my decision making to marry her. I only knew her I met her on Christmas Eve. We got engaged in June. So for me to have the faith in God, the confidence, and you know, and people said, "Hey, you're gonna get a prenup?" Prenup? I can't even spell that. You know, so I'm trying, you know, I'm really grateful because my real whole me is my faith in God, and he leads me, not so much some other hero that did something, because when I was 10, I knew what I wanted to be.
Yeah.
I still don't know what I want to do. And that's where we get it mixed up at. Yeah. We think that I do is I will be. For example, if I'm covering this guy, I'm doing this move. That move is not my be. That's what I did. But we get celebrated for what we did. And everybody just looks right over the B. Mm-hmm. Well, who is he though? You ain't see that movie, mate? No, I said, who is he? Is he somebody you want to go to dinner with? Mm. Or somebody you want to get an autograph from and go to dinner with? I'm more interested in that guy. And I appreciate that move he did. Who is he? Who is he being? What does he do? And we get really clouded with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's dope.
I got one question that's completely off topic because I don't know how many times I'm going to have Daryl Green here to actually hear his opinion. And this is something, this is almost like being in the barbershop and the GOAT conversation comes up. So I got to know, who are your top 3 to 4 corners in the NFL history?
Top 3 or 4 corners in history?
Just say 4, not just top 3 to 4, just top 4.
Well, you can say 3. Make it even harder.
It's okay. It is 3. It's 3. It's 3.
This is a conversation that could go all type of way. I thought about this the other day because I was like, if I had to have a defensive back situation, who would I be? Like, who would I get? I think I got one corner. I think I know. Then I think I know this corner. But then I was like, man, I might need a nickel. So who would be that third? And so
I appreciate you putting me in your top 3, bro.
So listen.
I want to hear this.
Keep in mind, it's dated.
It is.
It's Daryl. It's not you, him, or him. So this is Daryl. And this is what I saw.
Okay.
When I came into the league, I saw Mike Haynes.
So he was one of my guys, actually. I had him.
When I moved into my position, I saw me.
Okay.
And then the guy that was that take the handoff was Deion Sanders.
He was in there for me too.
I'm not telling you 1, 2, or 3. I'm just telling you this is how I saw it when I came in.
Mm-hmm. It's a good list.
Mike Haynes, then me. As I grew into it, then Deion came in behind us. And then, now you may know this or may not know this, but I trained because I was just with him. I don't take credit for his career. But I was with Champ Bailey for 4 years.
I do remember.
I watched film with him in the mornings twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And on run keys days, when they went to run keys, coach said, take him. We went down the other end of the field. We can talk about airplanes, birds, or chickens, whatever we want to talk about, but he was mine.
Yeah.
I don't take credit for his career.
That's beautiful. That's smart by the coach. Yeah. Though, saying like, hey, yeah, I got the super vet here. Take
you got
him.
Learn from him.
Take him.
Well, the great thing is that his humility and ability.
He accepted it.
And he was a top 5.
He received it. Yeah.
So. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's
I ain't taking credit for him. But I'm saying, and this is not.
It happened for
this
a reason,
is not
though.
Knocking my boys, Aeneas and Rod and Darrell and all
I
that.
I might have put Aeneas at the slot. I was thinking about
it. Yeah, Aeneas. This whatever we say is not to belittle the other guy.
I agree.
I'm just telling you me how I came in. Man, Mike Haynes, that's my guy. Then I felt like I moved right in.
You were
and then
that
I
guy.
Feel like Deion moved right in.
Yeah.
Now somebody could say, well, okay, well, put him, he's first. I don't really care. It doesn't matter. But that's me. But are there a lot of great corners? Well, I take that back. There's not a lot of great corners in the history.
It's true.
Not a lot of great corners in the history that really played. Now that position, that's why I say it. It's a unique position. It's not a defensive back.
Yes.
It's a cornerback.
Yeah.
It's a real life job. And they can make it different if they're just going to play cover two and three and four. Then, okay, it is a little bit different. It's not the same. I don't feel the same pressure I feel if you call cover three, if you call cover zero.
Zero,
you telling me zero is zero.
That's that heat.
It's zero.
I like cover one and cover zero because that means you're going to go hit the quarterback.
It's coming
and
out
I just
fast.
Got my guy.
I didn't like cover one because sometimes the safety going to knock the crap out of me. I didn't like that.
I'm a witness to that. That happened to me twice.
I didn't like that. Man, open your eyes, man. God. Man. Look at this, man. You hit me in the back. And then a lot of them used to steal my interceptions. I'm fighting myself to death and he come over and get the tip. I've got plays where I tipped it. I'm trying to go, hey, boom, he knocked me out. Just like with my boy Mitch.
Yeah.
Mitch got that pick. Now, I should have approached the ball better, but I was 30 days from my 43rd birthday when that last game. In that game, Champ Bailey gave me a reverse on punt. And that's a record of 35 yards for the oldest punt return in NFL history.
That's also...
Now, that is probably not going to change.
Now, that's also why you have the record tied with Jerry Rice, because this is what we do is teach on this show, as the most consecutive years with a touch in the NFL as well, because you got it for 20 years, because you had 19 interceptions, but then you got the reverse that counted as a touch. So that's how you have the record for 20 years as well. There we go. So
hey, put that on the list, y'all.
It's all full circle on this show because this is what we do.
Another feather in the cap.
Look at that. There it is. See, we're teaching you something here.
If y'all can see his face right now, he is like, well, I be dang. I like that. I like
that. You know what thing that came to my mind, which I appreciate now, like, hey, I can catch my own punt. Why I got to run a reverse? But I will say this is a true story. So after the game, later on when I go in the locker room, it's my last game.
Yeah.
Everybody, we've been in the stadium for a few hours saying goodbye. It was really neat.
Of course.
Send off. And I'm watching the footage as I'm doing my interviews, and I see the reverse. I'm like, man, I'm retiring right on time. Because I can still play, but yeah, dude, that would have been a touchdown. And as you get older, what is 80%, which is satisfactory to play, but for you, it's struggle.
You know,
yeah.
You struggle. Know. 80 is good. You good, but I can't live with myself.
Yeah.
That's not, and if I hadn't saw that film, I was like, oh my God, that should have been a touchdown. Dude, they... I jumped over that guy like I was an old man. But it was good enough. 35 yards. 35 should have been 75.
And Daryl, I will be honest with you before we get out here. I mean, you were an old man at the time. You were 42 playing football. It's beautiful. I mean, you're the only cornerback that's done it that long. So hats off to you, man. And thank you for blessing us, man. This was awesome.
Great conversation.
Enjoyed it.
You know, I didn't know what to expect. And I was thoroughly, thoroughly blown away with your humility, your stories, your ability to reference God and how he's led you, how he's spoken to you, how he's continued to lead you, your beautiful wife, your kids, your family, the things that really are important to you, the children and the community that you serve. Like, we hear that.
Yeah.
We felt that, and we appreciate that because so often this is why we talk about this on this podcast.
Yeah.
And the NFL Player Second Acts is that, man, like, we only know you so much through what we've heard through the TV, what we knew outside of that helmet, but really getting to sit down with you and let you be in your own comfort zone. You got your shirt tucked out. You telling us great stories. You jigging, doing your thing, man. I appreciate that, man. I got a brand new light shining down on you.
I appreciate that. I haven't seen your show, but your show is going to be a part of our life now.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I, and our family. So we're going to be... Washington, D.C., D.C., DMV. What's the name of the show?
NFL Players Second Acts Podcast.
There we go.
NFL Players Second Acts
Podcast.
NFL Players Second Acts Podcast is my show from now on. So y'all, let's check this out.
That's the promo, baby.
That's the promo we needed.
Let's go.
I like it. Hey, thank you for blessing us. Hey, thank y'all for tuning in and listening. I'm Peanut. That's Rome, the Ageless Wanderer. Like, share, subscribe, follow Apple Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast. Excuse me. I apologize. Hey, make sure y'all tune in. Hey, this is the NFL Player Second Acts Podcast. I'm Peanut. Hey, that was it. That's a wrap.
What he said. What he said.
Dynamite print.
Let's go.
That's it. Let's ride.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit hellmanns.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.